Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn me to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 14 through 21. And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Here we go. I've entitled this evening's study, How Beautiful Are the Feet? How beautiful are the feet? You know, one of our own prayer warriors right now just got a call or got a text that there was someone on Lifeline. I believe her name was Natasha. Yes. And Sister Catherine drove all the way up there to go lay hands on this lady. So we'll see what happens. Amen? Amen. But you know what? Huh? What location? It's in L.A.
Oh, she drove to L.A.?
Yeah, she drove to L.A. So pray traveling mercies for her.
Amen.
You know, that Sister Catherine, she just drops that and she goes. She goes. Yeah, amen. And it ties in with this evening's message. How beautiful are the feet? And we're gonna see why I entitled this, because it's right out of this chapter, or the following remaining verses. And so we're gonna see how beautiful are the feet, because God calls. Turn to your neighbor and say, God said your feet are beautiful.
God said your feet are beautiful. Feet are beautiful.
Now remember, I said When you look at your feet, they're beautiful, right? That's all I'm going to say. they look beautiful. So are we there? Let's break this down and let's take a look at what God says tonight. Amen? We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Let's go. Here we go. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Paul's always asking these rhetorical questions. And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's what we call, me and Brother Felipe, we call each other preacher. Because we go anywhere to go preach, amen? And how shall they preach unless what? Unless they are sent. As it is written, how beautiful, there it is. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Okay. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes. This is so key right here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. In order to grow, you must hear the word. You must hear the word. Look at this. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, meaning all the apostles and disciples. They've gone out. For 2,000 years, the word of God has gone out. Look at this. And their words to the ends of the world. The whole world has heard the gospel now. This is why Jesus is about ready to come back. Look at verse 19. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. We're going to break that down. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. Uh-oh. Who are those?
Us.
Huh?
Us.
Yes. We were sinking in, were we? No. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Come on, you didn't wake up out of your... In other words, you weren't thrust out of your mother's womb crying for God. Even little beautiful Elliot has to be taught the word. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
That's a beautiful child, by the way. And I'm so blessed that you bring him to the household of faith. Because he's going to hear God's word. It's going to get in his spirit. And by the time he starts growing, he's going to preach. He's going to turn around, preach.
Catherine's in the house.
Oh. Oh, I just shared you right now. I shared about your feet. How beautiful are the feet that preach the gospel of peace.
Amen.
Amen. She dropped that. Went to go pray for Natasha. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Okay, here we go. Look at this. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. So, here's a dichotomy. Paul is basically saying, look at these foolish Gentiles who never sought God, who never asked for God, and yet God poured out his spirit on them. Amen? And then he looks at the people of God who weren't looking for Jesus when he showed up. They cared less. He was right in front of them. The scriptures prophesied who he was. And the Messiah, the King of Kings, was right there in their midst. And they missed it. This is why, even in the church today, you can be real close to Jesus and still miss him. He's got to be in you. The hope of glory. You must receive him. He must enter in, and you must allow him to come in and fill up your entire being. Can I get an amen? Be engulfed by the Spirit of God, because that's when God will then use you. He will use your feet, and he will call you beautiful are the feet who preach the gospel of peace. When you can just drop, happen, go, and go pray for someone you don't even know, God looks at your feet as beautiful. Come on. This is where you just go and be led by God and be convinced that when you go, you're there for purpose.
Yes.
And expect to see God move.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So, let's look at verse 14 here. Mm-hmm. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a what? A preacher. You need a preacher. You need someone to speak, to be bold in the days that we live in. Did you know that there's a lot of shy Christians that won't open their mouth?
Yeah.
They'll be in the midst of all kinds of people that don't know God and won't say and share God. You have to be bold. You got to be called. You have to know you've been called to preach. And I'm not talking about a pulpit preacher. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about sharing your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing to people that don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
Laying hands on them. Watch God do something miraculous. In the meantime, while you're praying for them, you're preaching to them.
That's right.
So, if God's salvation is for everyone who calls, how can people call on God to save them if they have not been moved to believe in him? You ever ask, you ever wonder that? And how can they believe if they never heard anything about him? See, there could be no call, saints of God, no belief, if these people have not heard about God. Meaning, the apostles, when they got saved, okay, and then they got persecuted, they were scattered, and they kept multiplying. Persecution came, and it became multiplication. And as more persecution came, the gospel spread even more. God woke me up at 5 this morning. 2 days in a row now, he woke me up at 5 in the morning. Boom, my eyes just were up. And then I heard him speak in my ear this morning. And this is what he said. There's a storm coming. There's a storm coming. Heard it loud and clear. And I just turned to the side. I said, Lord, something is going to unveil itself in these next few days.
Yes.
Brace yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Brace yourself.
Yes, Lord. Oh, yes.
Brace yourself.
Yes, Lord.
We're only several days away from this giant, this huge, huge election.
Mm-hmm.
And half the nation is pitted against each other. And it's going to get ugly. And let me just say this. If our enemies from across the land, I call it, the English says across the pond, see that we're in turmoil, what better time to attack?
Oh, yeah. They're ready. Mm-hmm.
What better time to attack?
Vision.
And so, saints, let's move on to verse 15. You see, let me just say this. There could be no call, no belief, no hearing unless those have been sent by God to hear the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know the gospel is good news?
It is good news.
It's not bad news. You know, some people think, well, I don't want to talk about God. I don't want to talk about the devil. I don't want to talk about heaven or hell. Some people walk in total unbelief.
Yes. Blinders.
And little do they know that if they reject the only thing that can save their soul,
mm-hmm.
they'll be dropped into an ever-tormenting place called hell.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we're called to preach the gospel to them. Amen. And not be ashamed. And so look at verse 15 right up here. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Did you catch that? You have to allow God to send you. You can't lay dormant. You can't lay, on your laurels, your good looks, your prosperity. You have to be sent. And allow God to send you. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful, say that with me, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We have seen this time after time after time when people would go out and pray for people that have no hope, that are on a life machine, and we have seen God flip the switch.
That's right.
We have seen God do the miraculous.
Yes.
We have seen God do the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
When the doctors have counted them out, when the doctors come to the family and says, you know what, your decision to pull the plug.
Mm-hmm.
And God holds everybody's hand back from grabbing that plug. Can I get
amen?
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. Sister, when I got your text today, I go, wow, she read my sermon today. Because when you hear God's voice, you got to go and preach. You got to go lay hands when God tells you to go do so. I would have missed the moment in many moments if I would have said, nah, I don't feel like going. I got other things to do. Why are you calling me? Come on. We got to get out of that slumber and sleep. We got to realize, what did God save us for?
That's right.
Why did he call us?
Yeah, that's right.
just to say, oh, I'm going to heaven now. No. There's true, I mean, there's so many people that are hurting right now. And they need someone to be sent to them to preach to them, to share the love of God to them. All believers are sent to announce the good news. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The process, saints of God, of salvation begins with the one who tells another the good news. And that's what the Bible is good news. And so like Paul and the early Christians, the spread of the gospel message of Christ, despite persecution and even death, they would be eager to share the good news, despite of all that. Why? Because they knew that this earth wasn't their home. Did you know that we're just pilgrims passing through?
Yes.
Did you know that we're here just for a moment?
Mm-hmm.
And so while we're here, God says, I've called you to use you to reach others. And we're going to see why. I'm going to show you a key scripture in this few scriptures left in this chapter. And I want you to just have this thought right now, and then we're going to get there. Ask yourself, why did he save me? Why did he save me? Why did he save you? And so, Isaiah was used by Paul. See, you got to remember, the New Testament wasn't written yet, right? So what was their reference? What was their, where they could point to? Was the Old Testament. And Paul quoted a lot of verses in the Old Testament. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And so when he says, how beautiful are the feet, let me ask this question. Where is he getting that reference from? I gave you a clue just now.
Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. And it's right up here. And look at this. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims what? Salvation. Who says to Zion, your God reigns. You see, this is where he got his illumination. You got to remember, who was Paul prior to his salvation?
Saul.
And what was he?
First terrorizer.
Yeah, we know that. But what was his position in life? He was a rabbi, and he was from a high line.
Yes.
He was from where? What lineage did he come from?
Benjamin.
From the tribe of Benjamin. That was one of the elitists. Those the high priest came from them. Wow. And so he knew the word. You see, Paul knew the word. Because he was a rabbi. He was the attorney of the day. You couldn't get anything past him. And he thought through his zeal of being a Jew was a right thing to do to persecute this new way of religion that popped up. And we were called the way. It was called the way. Not Orale way, but the way. That was the church back then. And so he used these scriptures from the Old Testament to prove his point, to solidify his proclamation, to identify who God is in our life and why he saved us. And so his feet were beautiful to them. For his good news was so welcome. So welcome. Did you know when Paul got saved? His feet became beautiful. Why? Because he went anywhere and any place to preach the gospel now. His feet became like diamonds. Beautiful. How do you describe beautiful in your life? What's beautiful to you? It should be something of brilliance, something of beauty. Well, beauty comes from beautiful. Something glamorous, something marvelous. You can find so many definitions for beautiful. Well, that's how God looks at your feet when you go preach the gospel. That your feet are so beautiful. The message was what he brought, but it was those who worn those dusty feet that brought him. Huh? That's right. And those feet were beautiful because they represented the messenger's willingness to be sent with the good news. You know, I remember growing up in National City, 11 brothers and sisters. A lot of us would get hand-me-downs. You know what hand-me-downs are? My tennis shoes, I don't know how many holes they had. Come on, we all remember them days. I know I do. And I look back, I said, man, God, we still had shoes. And guess what? We all still have feet. Can I get an amen? Amen. To go preach the gospel. Yeah. To give a word of encouragement. To lay hands on the sick. And with these feet, Paul wrote to his dear friend Timothy. And one of the things that's so profound in 2 Timothy 4, it's right up here. Look at this. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. For what? What's the purpose to preach the word? To convince, to even rebuke at times, to exhort with all long suffering, meaning being patient and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up themselves teachers. Be careful. Because a lot of people would rather go to prosperity teachers than to hear a message similar to this. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Make me feel good. Don't talk about my sin. Look at this, verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful. Turn to your neighbor and say, be watchful.
Be watchful
in all things. Endure afflictions. Listen, we're going to be afflicted, but endure it. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. We don't know how much time we got left. Can I get amen? So fulfill it. One of the things that I'm going to share, because I've seen it with my own eyes. Sister Vera has a lot of family that are servants. They love to serve God. And one of their relatives, I saw it with my own eyes. Eddie Juarez. He served his wife until God took her home. That man showed me endurance. He showed me stamina. He showed me, you know what? It's only hard if you make it hard. But when you love God, it becomes a joy. And he served Esther all the way until she went home. And my sister serves her husband right now, faithfully. And we love to you. Always remind Brother Manuel, we love him. We love him. I know he can't be here, but we love him. And we pray strength for you, sister, and joy, and endurance. Because everything in our life will pass. Hardships will pass. Afflictions will pass. Turmoils will pass. But what remains is your heart that loves God. And that will remain. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's go to verse 16 here. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? You see, my friends, many Jews did not welcome the gospel of Jesus Christ. They heard it, but they what? They refused to believe, and they refused to submit to it. Some people don't like to submit to the things of God. When God's word is trying to help you, not afflict you. The failure of the Jews to respond to God's warnings of impending judgment was true in Isaiah's day. Lord, who has believed our report? That was the message. Who has believed? And so, my friends, tonight, whose message are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God's message that your feet are beautiful to be sent as a preacher? Can you believe that for your life? Because I see a lot of beautiful feet in here. And God is using us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And God will continue to use us. Thank you, God. It was true while Jesus preached, and it was true in Paul's day. I want you to see this right here, what I found in the book of John, chapter 12. Let's go there right now to tie this in. Look at this in John 12:37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? The problem that Paul had in chapter 10 that we're reading out of is the Jews could not believe that the Messiah was right before them. They were able to touch him. They were able to embrace him. And many of them denied him. They thought that he was a false prophet. They didn't think that that was the Messiah, even though the scriptures confirmed who he was. And I remember what Jesus said, you don't have to believe me, but believe the things that I do. And what things did he do? The dead were being raised. The blind could see. The mute can speak. The cripple can walk again. He did all these things before them, and yet they still had a hardened heart, and they could not believe the report that Isaiah said. Whose report are you going to believe? This is the issue today. There's still people walking in unbelief. They can't believe that God can pull me out of this financial slumber. They can't believe that God can restore their marriage. They can't believe that their kids could quit drugs. Oh, come on. God can do it all. You have to believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord says yes and amen, and I'm sold out, and I know that in his time he's going to raise up the dead things in our life. Speak to those dead things in your life. Speak to them. Watch God raise it up. Watch God raise it from the dead. I don't care how bad it was. I don't care what it looks like. God will raise it up. Got to speak to it though. You got to pick up your beautiful feet and go to it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Look at verse 39 right up here. Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Wow, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. In other words, Isaiah saw Jesus in the future doing all kinds of miracles. But one of the places where people were stumbled was in Nazareth, where he grew up in. He came back there, and the Bible says there were very few miracles done there. Why? Because they knew who he was. Aren't you Joseph, the carpenter's son? How could this be? So even our own family, after we get saved, who are you?
I know what you've done.
I know what you've done. You going to come over here with all this hallelujah stuff?
I know you.
And their hearts will still be hardened until God breaks the challenge, until God comes and destroys that yoke on them. But don't give up. Keep on pressing. Keep on praying. Keep on loving. Keep on lifting them up. And God, hallelujah, will penetrate that dark heart. Because someone prayed for you. Someone prayed for me. I can't get no glory in this. It's all God's glory when he saved us. Man, he saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Thank you, God. And we're here. We're here today because somebody's beautiful feet preached the gospel to you. Thank you, God. Oh, yes. I don't know how many people witnessed to me, especially at Western Lumber. All kinds. I used to, get out of my grill. And I'm being polite right now what I said. So saints, we can expect the same today. Bringing people good news does not guarantee a welcome. It doesn't. I don't know how many times I went to my dad's house. My dad would say it like this. Placido, I got my own religion. You got yours. No. Time after time after time after time, he would say, no, I'm not coming to your church. No, no, no. But did I give up? No. And when Pastor Leo gave me that opportunity on a Wednesday night at the United Methodist Church, the big church across from Sayles. Remember Sayles on Freeway 8? Right there on that hill. He asked me to preach on his behalf. And my brother Dale brought my dad. And you guys know the story. My dad got saved that night. I baptized him in my jacuzzi on a Friday. And he sat in the front row here on Friday night on fellowship, right there where I'm pointing. And didn't miss a night. He was so happy to be here. Woo-hoo. Only God can do that. You know why? Because the good news and the beautiful feet were sent to him. Don't give up on your situation. Don't give up on people in your life. Keep on bringing it. Don't write them off just yet. God will blow you away. God will, it's almost like God putting his hands on his hips and looking at you like, I told you so. Man. So we're not responsible for others to respond, but we are expected to carry the good news. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let's now go to verse 17 of chapter 10 of Romans. So then, here it is. Remember I told you guys to remember this? So then faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Let me tell you, you want your faith to be increased, you got to hear the word. It's got to be preached to you. It's got to be driven in you. You got to, it's just, So then faith comes by what? Hearing. This is why God gave you ears to hear. God woke me up at 5 in the morning, this morning, and yesterday at 5 o'clock. But this morning, he spoke in my ear. He said, there's a storm coming. It's almost like saying, brace yourself. There's something coming. I heard it loud and clear. Man, God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's God's word that needs to be preached to dead things. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And when I say people that are walking around dead, they're dead in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They're alive physically, but they're dead in spirit. And only God can make that spirit come alive. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So this statement, saints, expresses the main theme of this whole chapter. People need to hear the word of God. Why? Because this is the good news of salvation. And it's all in Christ. But it must be in order for them to believe. I found some scriptures to solidify this. Look at in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without what? Ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you what? Heard. They had to tell them that you heard from us. You welcome it, not as the words of men, but as it is truth. The word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So in other words, before a person can believe, you got to speak that word in them. Look at this. Which, go back to that verse right up there on the second line. It says, because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. So they went around preaching the gospel. And guess what? When you go around sharing your faith with people, it's because they heard it from you. Look at Colossians. Paul wrote to Colossians, let the word of God, or Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One of the things that I could honestly be so very thankful is when God saved me. And I've heard many of you had the same experience with God, or kind of the similar new beginnings with God. Is that he changed your whole music inventory. All the junk had to go. All the beepity bop bop beep bop, you know, and all that. Yeah. All that had to go. And when I filled my mind with worship and praise, it transformed my mind. You know why? Because it kept my heart steadfast upon him. I was always praising him and glorifying him. And his spirit would engulf me and bring me tremendous joy. And I'm not talking about temporal joy. I'm talking about the eternal joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's unspeakable, full of glory. And so that's one of the things that we need today. Get that junk. You know, I said it like this. You can know where you're at in your walk with Christ when you look at your inventory on the music you listen to in your car. A majority of the time we're driving places, we're going places, right? So what station do you have it on, and what CDs do you still play? That'll tell you where you're at. It's like a It's like a needle that, you know, when someone's in the hospital and they're hooked up to all these machines, It's like a needle on a meter. So that needle should be pointing upwards to the Lord, not downward. But when you go back to that bleepity bleepity blink, and you're bouncing and moving to it, God is far from that. Because that music of today wants you to fornicate. It wants you to commit sin. It causes you to lust. It causes you to look at the opposite sex, or even try to pervert your mind to look at the same sex. It's all twisted today. No longer is the music like Benny Goodman and Tommy Dorsey. Oh, you guys don't have a clue on that one, huh? Benny Goodman and Tommy Dorsey is who my dad used to listen to. It's called the Big Band. No longer. The stuff we hear now is filth. It's filth. And you don't even want to look at the videos of these songs. Help us, God. Yes, help us, Jesus. Look what Paul wrote to the Hebrew church right up here. Look at this. In Hebrews 4, 1 through 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was what? Preached to us. As well to them. But the word which they what? Heard. Did not profit them. And not being mixed with faith to those who heard it. So that's why Jesus said, all you need is to have what? Faith the size of a mustard seed. And you'll be able to move a mountain. Look at verse 3 right up here. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. There are some folks, till this day, until they take their last breath, they will not enter into God's rest. And they will experience the wrath of God. We don't know who they are. And we can't judge who they're going to be while they're still here. All we can do is bring them the good news. And let it lay where it lays. Let it be sown in their hearts. And you know what God will say to you then? You did what you're supposed to do. It's his job to save them or not. Can I get amen? And we can't put the robot, I don't know about that one. No. Because people were saying that probably about me in the lumber yard. I don't know. Because there was a lot of Christians in our lumber yard. I was working with 70 people in a yard. And there was at least 13 Christians. And a lot of them were afraid to come to my podium. Because I had my ghetto blaster blasting all the funk and R&B and, you know what, slinging. They would see some guys coming up to me. I'd be giving them little bags of, you know what. And you just imagine what some of them, well, that guy needs to get saved over there. And who knows if someone said, I don't think that guy's ever going to get saved. Who knows? Yeah, it's not up to them, huh?
That's right.
You ever thought you would get saved? Mm-mm. But God did. God knew you were going to be saved before you were even created in your mother's womb. He already had a plan. He already knew your name.
Yep, he had a plan.
It's like we had to play out this life. You know why? Here's what God showed me. The reason why we had to play out this life of sin is because he wants all the glory. He wants all the glory to show the world, this is what I did for him. This is what I did for her. Can I get an amen? Oh, nobody helped you. No one did this. God did it all by himself, and he didn't need us. Woo! Because God wants all the glory. If he's not going to have all the glory, he don't want none of it. Thank you, God. Let's move on to verse 18. Look at this. But I say to you, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. These Jews back then heard the gospel. They knew about it. They read all the Old Testament prophecies. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. He was going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isaiah said, who's going to believe his report? Wow. That's amazing, huh? That's amazing. They heard the word. And some might argue that the Jews weren't even given enough chances to hear, or somehow the message should have been made clear for them. No. There's no excuses here. God's word will not come back void. Can I get an amen? The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. Jesus says, I am the gate, and no one can enter in but through me. You got to remember, he is the chief shepherd. And you and I, we're all his sheep of his pasture. We're all the little... That's all of us. We're his sheep. Yeah, man. And that's why I've come back to this scripture. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Paul emphatically responds that of course they heard. The message had been preached far and wide, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Praise God. And then Paul quotes this from Psalms. Look at this. Their line has gone out through all the earth. Look at this. And their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. They heard it. And how many love... Okay, let me ask this question. I know a lot of you know this. Maybe some of you don't know. But who wrote the book of Acts?
That was Luke.
Yes. Dr. Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts.
And even Stephen in chapter 7 told them.
Yes.
He revealed. You all knew it. You all read it.
Yes.
And he's still stiff-necked.
So one of Luke's final accomplishments, because remember, he was a doctor, but one of his accomplishments was when he wrote the book of Acts. He documented everything, the life of the apostles. The Acts were the actions of the apostles. All the way from the first chapter, all the way, I believe there's 30-something chapters in the book of Acts. But what was so profound was how he documented the Great Commission and what would be the reward of receiving Christ. This is what I love about the book of Acts, because it talks about this is how they were born again. This is how we're born again. It spells it out. It's very clear. And one of the things that will happen to every true believer is this. In Acts 1:8, look at this. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. But some of you may say, you know what? I may never see Samaria. I may never be in Jerusalem. Okay. True. So your neighbor, that's your Samaria. The one across the street, that's your Jerusalem. Go and preach to them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Preach to them. Because without a preacher, some of them will never hear the word. But go and preach to them. Saints, at this time in history, the good news had been preached to both Jews and Gentiles for about 20 years. And it had spread throughout the whole Mediterranean areas where the Jews lived. So there was no excuse during that time. There's no excuse for rabbi today. Huh. You know rabbi. Where we once were. There's no excuse. He's always telling me, Reverend Free. I read the whole New Testament. Front and back. I said, good. So Jesus is the Messiah, right? You know what I said after our conversation? When I walked away, I go, this guy's a closet Christian. He just don't know how to come forth with it. Because just imagine if he told his whole synagogue, you know what? Jesus is Lord. He's my Messiah. They'd all run through the door. And he wouldn't, yeah, man. They would abandon him. And they would kick him out from being the rabbi there. I think he likes his salary. Oh, yes. True story. True story. When we got there, they were looking for a rabbi. Because the rabbi had their original rabbi had gone. So they put in their publication, we need a rabbi. So he came all the way from San Francisco, and they started paying him. He demanded, at that time, it was a lot of money, 17 years ago. He wanted $50,000 a month. And there was only 10 in his synagogue. Yeah. And guess what they did to keep him there? They owned the house. It was right next to the fellowship hall. They had to sell that to keep him there. They had to sell so many things to keep him there. Oh my God. A true story. God help us. God help us. I wanted to tell him one day, hey, you want to share some of that with me? We're under the same roof here. He would have told me, you know what? Jesus. And so there may have been some Jews who had truly not yet heard back in that time. But to use that as an excuse for the large number of Jews who had rejected the gospel, it didn't sit well with Paul. It didn't sit well with him. And this is why God gave this. I want you to catch this. Because when they saw the truth, they rejected it, right? So when you reject Jesus Christ, I'm talking 2,000 years ago and 2004. I believe it's October 30th today, right? Till this day. Paul wrote this down. Look at this. In Romans 1:18. For the wrath, say that with me. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, there it is, the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for them of yesteryear, and there is no excuse for today's year. It's been revealed to them. And for unbelievers that are watching right now, maybe you logged in and just caught on to this. You don't believe there's a God? Walk outside in the daytime and ask me who put the sun up there. How come you feel the wind and you can't see it? Look at the trees. Look at the birds. Who created them? You? There is a creator. And where we are, you and I, are the highest created being on the earth. We're the only living creatures that have a soul, that have a mind that could remember. We have a train of thought. Animals have instincts, and they cannot communicate with us verbally. They just know commands. You teach them commands. But we're the only ones that can communicate with. Why did he allow us to communicate with one another? Because later on, he's going to communicate with us face to face. Face to face. Jesus. Jesus. So as the loopholes closed for the Jews, they closed for everyone too, that reject everything that God has shown them. If the Jews are not excused for their unbelief, how can the rest of us think that we might have excuses for today? And there's people that look, how many people have you witnessed to and said, you know, I'm glad you found God. That was for you. And they don't want nothing to do with God. Keep praying. Keep praying. Can I get an amen? Keep praying. Pray until something changes. Pray until something changes. Can I get an amen? Let's move on to verse 19 in Romans chapter 10. And it reads, oh wait, hold this thought right here. We're still in Romans 1. Let's go to verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Remember I just said that? Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People will stand before God and cannot run from God when they stand before him, because there's no excuse. Now we'll move on to verse 19 of Romans chapter 10. But I say, did Israel not know? Paul's always asking these rhetorical questions. First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. Let me ask you this. What is Moses reference to?
Gentiles.
Gentiles. The Jews are going to be jealous of us. Some of them are still jealous of us today. Why? Because we walk around and we proclaim, you and I, we are the people of the book. When I say people of the book, that means we are Bible-believing Christians, right? No, there's Christians. There's a lot of denominations. They don't bring their Bibles in nowhere. But we are a church that's been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the Word of God is our food. It's our nutrition. It's how we grow. We grow in our faith through God's Word. Just imagine if you didn't go to Bible study, you didn't go to a Sunday morning sermon. How will you know who God is if you're not reading about it? From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. And what's the acronym for Bible? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. So remember the word Bible, or basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's why we need to be in the Word. Can I get amen? Because it's basic instructions for us. It's very basic. And so he was referring to these. And he wrote this down in Deuteronomy. And this is a prophetic scripture in Deuteronomy written by Moses. Look at this. It says right up here, "They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by what? A foolish nation." See, Moses was talking about his own people that would not embrace the Word of God. They wouldn't embrace the Messiah. They wouldn't embrace the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what he said, he goes, you know what? I'm going to raise up a nation that are a whole bunch of Gentiles. Aren't you so blessed Jesus came to us?
I'm blessed to be a Gentile.
Blessed to be a, you know what? Blessed to be a Gentile. That's right. Look at verse 22. It says, "For a fire is kindled by my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." Wow. You know, we all know how the story ends. I know we're praying for Israel, but God's going to allow nations to come against them. Right now, they're waving a big stick. And they should. Because, you know, those people came in there to try to annihilate them. And God's not going to allow that to happen. But I heard it said best. The reason why every day they're having Aliyah in Israel. You remember the word I use, Aliyah? That means the Jews are coming home. So from around the world,
yes.
New York Jews, Jews all over are going back home to Israel. Why is he calling them? Why is he gathering them? He's all gathering. Why? He's gathering his people. You know why he's gathering them? And pretty soon, all the Jews, or most of the Jews in the world, will be there in Israel. But why is he gathering them? Like a mother's gathering her hens. Why? Because he wants them all there when he comes and steps on the Mount of Olives. So they can see the nail-pierced hands. They can see the side that was pierced for them. And that's why. So he's right now, he's fishing. He's like a fisherman. He's fishing for them. And then, after he's done fishing them, now he's going to chase them out of where they're at to come back home. And he's doing that right now. Wow. Woo! But here's the thing. What I was about to say is this. Israel is going to be severely attacked according to Ezekiel 38:39. And who's the only... what can they do at that point when all the nations has come against them and they're about ready to be annihilated? They're going to cry for the Messiah. They're going to cry to God. And Jesus is going to show up. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. And then the book of Revelation says that Jesus' robe is going to be dipped in blood. Why is it going to be dipped in blood? Because Jesus by himself is going to kill all the enemies. He's going to kill the Russian army, the Chinese army, the Arab nations. He, all those who have come against Israel, he's going to wipe them all out. Through his mouth, the Bible says a sword will come out. He'll speak the word, and they're going to fall in half. And the Bible says the blood is going to reach up to the bridle of a horse. That's how deep the blood is going to be everywhere, because Jesus is going to do it all. Jesus is coming back as a man of war. You see, he's not going to be the little savior, you know, and or the one that died on the cross. He came to serve. He came to save. But when he comes back again, he's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's coming back to rule and reign and to take back the throne. How many can't wait for that? Woo, I can't wait for that. And we're going to be his subjects. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we're going to go up to Jerusalem and worship the King. Woo! And we're going to be in our new bodies. Can I get an amen? So guess what God showed me? We're not going to travel by the speed of light. Because speed of light still is time. We're going to travel by the speed of thought.
Wow. I never thought about that.
I need to be in Jerusalem right now. Bam. We're there. The speed of thought.
You know, Philip was with a eunuch, and then when he came out of that way,
he was gone. Gone. And he was not in a Humvee.
Yeah.
He wasn't in a vehicle. He went on a motorcycle. No. He went on a bike. And listen, there was no way he could sprint from his sight when he came out.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And he probably didn't even think it. Somebody else thought that was the angel or the Lord.
So the new bodies, remember that. We're going to travel by the speed of thought. Woo! That's faster than the speed of light. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's move on to verse 20. We're almost coming in for a close. Let me see what we got here. Yes, we got two verses. Can we endure two more? Amen. Here we go. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not what? Ask for me. So saints of God, the second quote is from Isaiah. Paul was always quoting Isaiah. Look at this. It's right up here. Isaiah 65:1. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. And I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. And guess what that nation was? The Gentile nation. Can I get an amen? We weren't looking for him. He came looking for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Woo, thank you, Lord. The people who were not looking for God, point to your neighbor. He was, because he was looking for you. So we look at our last verse as we close out chapter 10. And it's found in verse 21. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. That's still today. Huh? Has that changed? He quoted that. He quoted that from Isaiah, because Isaiah 65:2 says this. Look, I have stretched. He quoted it right out of Isaiah. I stretch out my hand all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. Wow. You see, this is what I loved. I said this earlier. Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was one of the greatest rabbis in Jerusalem. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was from the line of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of all Hebrews. He was the most intellectual one. They came to pay to see him. When he spoke, it's like E.F. Hutton. Everyone listened. Remember that? They came from all over to hear him. But God took all that he acquired. And what I love about it, that he didn't throw none of it away. God turned it around and says, okay, now that the word is in you, now you're going to use it for my glory.
Amen.
And this is why it's important for us. Why are we in Bible study? Because God wants to use it for his glory. Because you're going to know exactly what to say, how to entreat, how to raise up, how to preach and teach, how to go lay hands on the sick. God is teaching you that. This is the school of hard knocks right now. It's Bible class. Learning, growing in your faith. I'll be so blessed to know that you're growing in your faith. I've seen you all grow leaps and bounds. Praise God. And God is doing the miraculous in your life. And so we have concluded chapter 10 of Romans. Man, this whole book is going by quick. But I'm speaking now to those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube. Because what I love about the saints that are here tonight, they all love God here. And they're growing in their faith. God is doing extraordinary things in their lives. But maybe, just maybe, you've logged in and you've never given your heart to Christ. We want to give you that opportunity. We want to see you come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is surrender. Surrender your life to him. Say, you know what? I'm tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Maybe some of you have come down to the last line of help in your life. You tried everything. You've been to 12 steps. You've been sitting with priests. You've been trying to get rid of the addictions, the bondages. Maybe even the immoral lifestyle that you're involved in. We don't know, but God does. But I'm here to let you know there is hope for you. God can deliver you. God can save you. God can take your heart and give you a heart of gold, a heart, a precious heart of flesh. He will take your black heart and turn it into a heart of flesh that will in turn love him and praise him and glorify him. And then you will proclaim who he is in your life, like we have done. We have proclaimed, we have lifted up the bloodstained banner. We have lifted up and said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Can you say that tonight? That Jesus is Lord. Well, if you never said that, pray. Ask God to come into your life. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And watch God do a miracle in your life. And it's all done by faith. So bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Oh man, he is so worthy, so worthy. I'm so thankful that you guys pressed out tonight.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.